All right, we are recording. Welcome, everyone. This is the November 9th special edition bonus call for the Space Between Center. What we're doing today is we have on the line my friend Kendra Broden, and this is Kevin Houchin, and we're going to be discussing some tips and pointers on how to deal with holiday stress. And this call is free. It's out there for everybody. It's not just for lawyers, although Kendra and I are both lawyers and do a lot of work with lawyers. This call is for everyone, so just feel free to spread the word, share the call. We're not, you know, even though I'm a copyright lawyer, you're not going to get in trouble for downloading this and sharing with your friends. This is offered in the spirit of giving and the spirit of the season as something to help us all get through what has been traditionally, I think for everyone, a bit of a stressful time. So what we're going to be going through today and what you can kind of expect on the call is we're going to take an hour and we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, what's the big deal, why are holidays so stressful. We're going to talk about three key areas of stress that we all experience. And then we're going to share some tried and true strategies and techniques for not only surviving the holidays, but actually enjoying them, having fun, finding the joy in these happy, joyous, festive occasions, damn it. So with that, I want to introduce Kendra Broden. Say hi, Kendra.
Hi, everybody. I'm glad to be here, and I'm really thrilled to be doing this call with Kevin. I think we have a lot to share, and it is such a wonderful time of year that if we can do anything in this hour to help increase the joy and the happiness and the peace that you feel during this time of year, then I'm very glad to be a part of it.
Well, I'm glad you could take the time to be here. Just real quickly, Kendra and I met a few months ago through a mutual friend who, her name is Vivica Von Rosen, and you may know Vivica as the LinkedIn expert on Twitter, at LinkedIn expert. Viv is awesome, and she hooked Kendra and I up because we're doing a lot of the same things for the same people, and this call is the first of many collaborations, we hope. You can find more information about Kendra at kendrabroden.com. That's KendraBrodin.com. And Kendra also runs a program for women lawyers called Women Lawyers Online, and that's womenlawyersonline.com. It's .com, right?
It is .com, yes.
All right. And then I am Kevin Houchin, and you can find out what we're doing about helping people align who they are with what they do at the Space Between Center, which is spacebetweencenter.org. And you can find out more about me and my law practice at Houchin Law, HouchinLaw.com. So enough of that. But what we'd like to jump into right quick, and I'll just start off by asking Kendra, since, you know, your background is more fully trained in life coaching, success coaching, professional coaching than mine. I'm kind of an amateur at it, but, you know, just from that training and from the work you've done and from, you know, what you've learned over the course of just things, you know, why do you think we assume that the holidays are going to be stressful? You know, it seems kind of like a cultural phenomenon, and so, you know, where should we start? Where should we go in understanding why these things become so stressful?
Kevin, as you said, my background, just for folks who aren't familiar with my work and who I am, I'm both a social worker. I have a master's degree in social work, and I'm an attorney, which sort of makes a lot of people ask what led me from one to the other. And for me, there is that blending going on right now in my work between working with lawyers and other professionals. I do work a lot with entrepreneurs and other professionals, but primarily lawyers, bringing more of a social work component, a coaching component. Like you said, I'm also a trained life coach, to what they're doing and what they're experiencing both professionally and personally. And around this time of year, there's so much that comes up. I think that's what precipitated you and I talking about this topic being the first of many, as you mentioned, collaborations between the two of us, because with both in both of our communities, with our clients and with the people we work with, we're seeing so much stress this time of year. And like you said, it almost feels like it's a cultural phenomenon. Like when you mention November, December, the holidays, people just can almost feel their blood pressure go up physically because it's such a stressful time of year. We feel it. Part of it is probably habit that we've grown up experiencing so much stress. We probably experienced it in our households of origin with our families as a child. We might have watched our parents or our loved ones or our friends or our neighbors rush around and display all sorts of stress and stressful behaviors. And then certainly as we got older, I just think even during school, we both have had a lot of school and professional mm-hmm. training, there's finals around that time of year. So it's even educationally a stressful time of year, plus the fact that you're dealing with different kinds of your own holiday commitments and things that you need to get done. And then certainly once you're out in the professional world, there's year-end deadlines. Again, on top of all of those personal commitments, things going on, there's financial strain because we're out trying to buy presents and trying to be at every holiday party and spending just tons of money on a holiday, and that can be very stressful. Also, there's scheduling stress, and I think that's so pervasive. It's an incredibly busy time of year when you see companies and organizations postponing holiday parties until January because they know that everyone is under so much stress in November, December especially. It just is sucking the fun out of what is supposed to be, no matter what your faith tradition, a joyous time of year, a blessed time of year, a time of reflection and community and love and happiness, and it just becomes a time of year that many people dread. So I think there's a lot of reasons that it happens this way. I think part of it, not to blame the media, because I feel like we blame the media for everything bad that happens in society, but there's commercials all the time, and there's pressure that you see these perfect holiday trimmings and perfect holiday gifts, and if you were a good mom or a good spouse or a good parent or a good friend, you would buy a diamond for your loved one. And there's all of this that we think, gosh, if we don't measure up to that, then we're nothing. We're not doing this right. And so there's all of these pressures out there. And then there's grandma and there's the neighbors and there's the interpersonal stress that we're going to talk about and that you're going to talk about as well. Other people putting pressure on us to do certain things. So there's lots of pressure, lots of stress that comes from lots of places. But it also comes from ourselves. It's a mindset thing where we're putting all this pressure on ourselves and assuming that the holidays have to be this way and that they have to be a stressful time of year and that no one enjoys the holidays. And we have all of these unquestioned assumptions about what it means to live through the holiday season. And over the course of this call, I hope that we can challenge some of those assumptions and say, yes, there's a lot going on, and yes, there's some things you can't change, but there are some things you can change, and for the things you can't change, there are different ways you can think about it or approach it that hopefully make the season a lot more enjoyable and a lot less stressful.
Yeah. So when we were talking about doing this, we identified three main categories, and those three main categories that we took a look at were first the scheduling issues of all the overpacked schedules on top of our already overpacked schedules, and then some financial stuff, and finally the interpersonal areas of things. And I'd like to have you specifically kind of jump in a little bit with the things that come up around scheduling and financial. So if you could walk us through the things that you've noticed, especially with your coaching clients and the women lawyers that you deal with on the scheduling. It seems to me as a guy, that this is one of those things where I tell my sons, as guys, we normally get the good end of the stick on a lot of this stuff culturally. And so we've got to go above and beyond to make sure that that we don't just assume that the women in our lives are going to take care of all these extra scheduling things, but it does seem to happen that way, in terms of gender roles specifically, that the women end up doing a lot more of the shopping than the men do, and that'll lead to some interpersonal stuff that we'll talk about later. But, where do you coach people on things to look for in the scheduling and how to deal with some of that?
First of all, I think you're a saint for saying that to your son so they don't just assume that that's the way it is, and aren't they lucky to be born with the chromosomal makeup that they were and they get out of all the Christmas shopping. At least they have an understanding that that is something that even just culturally is a is a detail that gets passed along oftentimes to the women. It happens that way, and I do think that sometimes that just is because of the skill sets and because of what we're naturally either good at or what we like to do or however it works out. It does fall that way, and even with the best of intentions, I know in our household, certainly we follow that same division
of labor.
And so do
we. We're conscious of it.
but at least we're conscious of it.
But it happens that way.
That's right. It does happen that way. And granted, that's because I do all the birthday shopping, too. So, I mean, I know what people like. I don't know if it's just a woman thing or what, but I take on the shopping. Also, women, again, just because we're in a little bit of stereotyping here, so push back at me if you disagree, but we're a little bit more of the multitaskers. So keeping the running list of what I've bought for whom and who I need to send Christmas cards to and what I need to bake for what commitment and everything, it just naturally works a little bit better in my head than my husband's, who's a little bit more one track in what he needs to get done. So if
exactly.
I'm able to make him a list and delegate, which is something we'll talk about a little bit later, he's great.
Thank you.
If I just say, oh, it's terrific, exactly. And I need to be mindful of that, because we've had, and like you mentioned, we'll talk about these interpersonal things. We've certainly had some strong conversations around these type of things where I'm feeling like the burden is on me and he says, how can I help? And because it's all just swimming around up in my head, if I don't specifically identify some areas where he can help, then he can't help. I can't just say, well, why don't you take care of the shopping this year? It's just not going to happen. And then if it does happen, I'm probably just not going to be happy with the result, and then that's a whole other issue. So I think it is a matter of finding who you can delegate to and how it works best. And we'll get into some of those strategies, but you asked specifically about how I see this coming up, specifically the financial and the scheduling stressors coming up for the clients I work with and for the women in my community of lawyers at Women Lawyers Online. And we've mentioned some of them, but it manifests itself, this stress manifests itself in that overwhelming calendar, that calendar that is blocked off solid for the next 7 weeks at this point. It manifests itself in that shopping list that's never ending and trying to hold all of these things up in our heads, women and men. Men have a lot going on this time of year too, both at work and at home, and they're trying to juggle. And if they're not doing the tasks, they're probably mindful that their spouse or partner or someone is trying to take care of the tasks, and they're trying to help, and maybe they're experiencing the brunt of the frustration in the household, some of those things going on. But that's how it's manifesting itself in terms of scheduling and all the different things that are happening, and an incredible feeling of overwhelm that the people I'm working with are seeing and feeling and experiencing this time of year, and almost as if it's just a big black hole that they're desperately trying to dig themselves out of, and just about the time they think they get to the top, it's, you know, someone throws another shovel of dirt because there's always something. A note comes home from school, or you get an email, or, oh, my good night, I forgot about Aunt Betsy and I need to get her a present this year. All these different things that it's just never ending. And then we fall into the following year, in this case 2011, feeling still overwhelmed, feeling like we're already behind the eight ball starting the new year, which is never a good way to start what hopefully is a fresh start and something that's exciting. We just enter it feeling exhausted. So that's a lot of what I see around the scheduling, and then also around the financial things that we've mentioned, where people experience such a cost and expense in the month of December, certainly toward the end of December, with all of the gift buying and all of the financial commitments that seem to come at once. We'll talk about the fact that they don't have to come at once, but oftentimes they do, because we're so busy that we put these things off until the last minute, and then all of a sudden our credit card is smoking, both from use and from the fact that who knows how close we are to our credit limit, and we're incurring debt, we're incurring costs that we have to pay back again in the beginning of next year. So it's manifesting itself in a lot of ways that are very stressful, very overwhelming, that cause a loss of sleep and a loss of peace of mind and enjoyment, because we're so wrapped up in the busyness of the season that and the cost of the season that we lose the enjoyment of the season that only comes once a year. And it's such a wonderful time of year when we can experience it in that way, but it can also be such a challenging time of year. And also, I'd like to toss it back to you in terms of that interpersonal component. What have you seen in your community and in Space Between Center and the clients and folks that you work with in terms of the interpersonal stressors?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that goes on. And usually what comes up in that is it all comes down to how we feel inside. Are we feeling good about this, or are we feeling behind about this? Or the two fears that tend to hit most professionals thrive on each other. And those two fears are the fear of not being good enough, and that it happens at work. It's what's caused us to work so hard to be as good as we are at different things, is the fear of not being good enough. And it also causes us stress in our interpersonal relationships, because that's, you mentioned the word perfect before, and having to get the perfect gift, or having to set the perfect trimmings, or having to do all those kind of things perfectly, especially in the professionals. Perfection is unattainable, and it's especially unattainable when we're feeling stretched beyond our limits, and we will never enjoy the non-perfection if we're trying to be perfect. So there's the fear of not being good enough. That is the main cause of a lot of interpersonal relationships. The second thing is the fear of being perceived as arrogant when we are good enough. The fear of, really stepping into our talents and our abilities. And, I'm just as guilty of these fears, and guilty is, a judgment that's part of that. But, I'm just as used to these two fears as anybody else. And so, there's the pressure to get that perfect gift for your kids, for your mom, for your dad. There's the pressure to set the perfect table, or to make the perfect mashed potatoes, or the best oyster dressing, or show up in the perfect outfits for a midnight mass, or whatever your spiritual tradition is. There's the that whole thing of being, I don't know what your everybody's spiritual traditions are different, but there's this whole idea of of whether or not we have fulfilled our spiritual commitments this year at the right level. So there's all this kind of stuff that comes from the inside out and the outside in that is forcing us to do things, inside our mind, inside our heart, and reflect on things that we may not feel that good about. And then when you throw that you're running 10 minutes late, well, there's the perfection gone, there's the fun gone, or you find out that, maybe the turkey is a little bit dry this year, and instead of just adding some gravy and smiling, you get upset over it. So it's that kind of striving for perfection in all levels that we are bound to fall short of that really can lead to some interpersonal issues.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more. And I think whenever you mention those two major fears, they're so right, because they even bring up something in me. I think they bring up something in a lot of us, because we are so worried about not being good enough. And at this time of year, and that perfection and everything you just mentioned, this time of year, we want to be perfect. We want it to be just right. Because as a parent or as a spouse or a partner or child or anything, we want to show how much we love people. And sometimes we feel like to show how much we love people, it has to be just so. It has to be so perfect. And yet that's completely unrealistic. No one's going to love us less if the turkey is dry or if the bow is crooked on the package. And yet we put that on ourselves as some sort of standard of showing how much we care and showing how much we love someone, or just showing how good we are. All those things that come up around wanting so desperately to feel good enough. And then, like you said, and then being afraid of appearing arrogant when we are good enough. So I completely agree, and I see the exact same symptoms and the exact same ways that things actualize themselves coming up in the people I work with.
Well, let's get into some of the tools that we can share on the call here to help people, one, recognize that things are challenging, and one, it's okay. It's okay to say, I'm having a challenging a challenging moment here. And one of the first things I'll throw out as a coping strategy, and then we'll go into some of the things that we can do around our schedule, our finance, and our interpersonal skills. But one thing to remember is there's a story of somebody coming up to a friend and saying, you know what, I've had a really, really bad day. And the friend says, oh yeah, well, what happened? And the person said, well, I got called into my boss's office and I got chewed out. And the friend says, well, what else? And the person says, oh, that was it. And the friend says, you know, it sounds like you had a bad 5 minutes. And the point of that is that as we go through our days, there can be a 5 minute, 10 minute, half hour time. There can be a series of 5 or 10 minute events. You can be late. You can, the turkey can be dry. You can have those kind of things happen in a series, but they don't have to be a bad day. They can be a challenging moment. And so as we, as you get through that, the key on that is to remember that as challenges come up, as we spot our own perfections, as we find out that, you know what, our best wasn't perfect, but it has to be good enough, we find out that it's okay for that, and we can just relax, take it easy, smile a little bit about how we were feeling on that, and try to release that, breathe through it, or however, say a prayer, whatever works for you in your personal methodology and your tradition, to let that bad 5 minutes, if you want to call it a bad 5 minutes, let that go and focus on the next 20 of making them smiling and happy to the extent that you can, or at least honestly releasing the piece that's been a challenge. So let's talk about that in terms of, trying to figure out ways where we can avoid. Let's start with scheduling, if you don't mind. How can we set up our schedule in a way where we're not feeling like we're late and overwhelmed all the time? Do you have some pointers and tips on that?
I have so many pointers and tips, and I'll try to move through. And so, there's so many, and because they don't all work for everyone. There's some that might really resonate for one person, and there's some that people would think that's insane, and that would just make me feel more stressed. And so some will work for some folks, and some will work for others. But, to your point, I wanted to say that I think that's a great way to think about, in general, sort of an overarching way to work through not only the holidays, but really everyday life, is to realize that there are those sometimes 5 bad minutes or a morning or maybe a day, maybe just everything went to pot one day, but the next day can be different. And,
I have some friends that say, you know what, I used to have bad years, now I have challenging days.
Right. Exactly. Some days are better than others, and that's just the way it goes, where everything either, happens all at once or it doesn't. It reminded me yesterday, my daughter ran into a pole during recess, and the nurse called, and I knew about this before my daughter got off the bus. And she got off the bus, and she walked up to me, and I knew she'd run into this pole. And she said, Mom, I had the best morning ever. It's the first thing she says to me, and I said, well, you did. And she said, yep, I get to be top banana in first grade next week. And she's so excited about being top banana. And I said, well, that's terrific. And she hadn't mentioned the pole incident yet. And she said, but then I had the worst afternoon ever. And I said, what happened? And she said, I ran into a pole. But it was so true. It just, in terms of compartmentalizing, at least she said, I had the greatest morning ever. And that was the first thing out of her mouth. And then, yeah, she had a terrible afternoon because she ran into a pole. But at least it was part of the day. It wasn't the whole day. And I compare it to weather versus climate change. Sometimes the weather is terrific, like it is here today in Minnesota. It's unseasonably warm and it's beautiful. And tomorrow it might be snowing, as I know it might be for you in Colorado. But there's a difference between weather and climate change. Weather is that day-to-day, it's warm, it's cold, it's raining, it's sunny. Climate change is looking at that over the big scheme of things. And we can look at that in terms of stress. We can look at that in terms of being a good mom or a good partner. Maybe today I said or I did something that as a mother I am not proud of, or maybe I wish I could take back and do differently. Does that make me a bad mom? No, it makes me human. It makes me fallible. It makes me less than perfect. And I had a bad mom moment. That was the weather for today. is the climate change, you know, the big picture. Am I a bad mom? No. I'm a good mom, and I'm doing my best, and I have to remember that. But to your point, I think there's that focus of keeping things compartmentalized and saying that was a good moment, that was a bad moment. Regardless, I have the power to choose what that next moment is going to be. And that's a crucial coping skill in all of these categories that we're going to talk about. So with that, let me move in, launch into a quick list of scheduling tips, ways to handle that overwhelming schedule that comes along and smacks you across the face this time of year. And again, some of these will feel a little OCD to some people. Some of them might work really nicely. Just pick and choose what works for you. But the first one I'd like to mention is just keeping a list. This is something I've been working on a lot more lately, is keeping a list of things to do. And it sounds so remedial, but sometimes when we can get things out of our heads, especially this time of year when there's so much buzzing around up in our heads, the gifts and the parties and the cards and the commitments and the cleaning and the baking and everything else, it's dizzying. And when we can get it out of our heads and onto paper, onto maybe a to-do list or a to-shop-for list. This year I actually bought a little cute little book to write my gifts in, what I'm buying people, because I used to try to hold more of that in my head. And I just thought, what a waste of mental space when I can keep it in a little book and then I don't have to constantly be thinking, what did I buy for this person or for that person? I have it written down. And as soon as I buy it, I can write it down. And then I know. And I know when that person's done and I cross them off or I highlight them or somehow I note to myself that that's done. So making a list and just getting things out of the head and onto paper or into your planner.
Checking it twice.
Exactly. It's kind of like a Santa Claus thing. Make your list, check it twice, and then trust yourself to have it done. Like, be like, you know, I wrote it down. It can go out of my head, and I cannot worry about it anymore. And I'm just going to go through these. I made a nice long list in preparation for the call, so I'll just rip through them. I'm kind of a little – you'll notice a little OCD tendencies in me.
I'm not saying a word.
It's all right.
You are good enough for me, Kendra.
Now you don't have to. But the next is really pick and choose those Christmas activities or those holiday activities. We can't say yes to everything. And this time of year, it's all very tempting, and there's lots of lovely things to do, be it for family or philanthropic or cultural, all of these things that we feel like we could or should be doing for ourselves and our family. And if we try to do them all, we're going to just curl up into a ball and not be able to do anything because it's too much. It's too overwhelming. So figure out what you really want to do and focus on that, because sometimes the nicest thing you can have is an evening at home with your family or a special night out with someone that matters to you. And it's not all about doing and doing and doing more and more. So pick and choose those activities that are in line with your values that really matter, that make you happy, or that make someone else so happy that you're doing with them that it's worth it. You know, maybe it's something with your child that if you had your druthers, you would not be doing that particular Saturday morning, but the look of joy on your child's face makes it worth it to you. So be really mindful about what you're saying yes to, because every time you say yes to some activity, some commitment, you're saying no to something else. You're saying no to having some free time to catch up on that Christmas wrapping or shopping, maybe saying no to just having a cup of coffee and enjoying the season and listening to your holiday music. You're saying no to something else because we only have those certain number of hours in the day. So pick your yeses. I always joke that I'm going to write a book called Pick Your Nose. Get it? Pick your nose.
Okay.
It will look better in print than it sounds when I say it, but it's true.
No,
I
mean, have to couldn't possibly.
Get it? I know.
Cover design's coming to me right now.
Isn't it? I know. It's hopefully not too graphic. But in choosing our nose and picking our nose, what we say no to in terms of our schedule, and also in terms of, I mean, the way I had originally thought about it was in terms of parenting, choosing when we say no to our children. But also it applies to our schedule, choosing when we say no to other people and being very intentional about when we say yes and when we say no. I am a people pleaser. I love to say yes to people. I love to help people. I love to make people happy. And I will oftentimes do it at the demise of myself and my own peace of mind. So I have had to become much more mindful about when I say yes and when I say no, and choose those very carefully. The next strategy is getting an early start on things. Again, this is where you'll see a little bit of my OCD tendencies. I shop all year for folks, and it has been a lifesaver for me. My Christmas shopping is almost, I have two gifts left at this point, and my goal is always to be done.
You're bragging now.
I'm not, and I'll get to this. This is not, I'm not, I don't want to be seen as arrogant, Kevin, so please don't make me feel arrogant. But it's true. But I say this, and I even wrote this. I said, I say this not to be arrogant, but because I've imposed a different deadline on myself. My deadline is not December 25th. It's November 25th. That's when I have to get it done, because that's what makes my December more bearable. My husband is a pastor, and so December is a really challenging month for us anyway. We have 10 times more commitments, all sorts of church things, all sorts of things we have to do. Lots of, he works. It's his, Christmas Eve is his busiest work day of the year. So it's not a day of peace and quiet around our house. It's a day of chaos. And so we have to figure out ways to make that manageable for ourselves and certainly for our children. So when I am able to say I'm done with my Christmas shopping on November 25th, it's not for anyone's peace of mind except my own. It makes me feel better knowing that I can go to my family in Illinois and bring the Christmas presents with me and drop them off, and I don't have to worry about them on Christmas morning because they're already in Illinois, and that just gives me peace of mind. So it's all about figuring out what works for you. When I'm out, and all, but this also goes to the financial piece a little bit in terms of getting an early start. When I can shop all year round, and this, again, is sort of what makes me a slightly freakish, but it helps me, I can sort of keep a list in my mind, and when I see something that just jumps out at me as, oh, that's a perfect gift for so-and-so, I pick it up, and I put it in this little closet in my basement, and I picked up my father-in-law's Christmas present in July because I was at this craft fair, and it was perfect. I picked it up, I put it in the little closet, and I'm done. I'm done with him, and I can shop all year round, which gives me peace of mind in terms of my own scheduling. I don't have to rush out there in a panic looking for a perfect gift when I had all year and all sorts of amazing experiences to shop during, like maybe little craft fairs or something where I could find something more unique. Now I have to run to the mall on December 23rd and spend more than I want on a gift that isn't as terrific as what I want, and it adds stress to my life. So these
are that evened out your financial.
That's right. It totally evens out the financial, because now I'm distributing 1 month's expenses of, you know, in December. I'm say $1,000 or say $1,200 actually for easier math. Say I was going to spend $1,200 on all of my Christmas stuff. I don't even know if that's close to what I spend or not. So don't use that. It's more a mathematical tool. Instead of spending $1,200 in December, I'm spending $100 each month throughout the year. And I'm paying that off each month on my credit card or however I can distribute it financially. So I'm not smacked with $1,200 of expenses in December. I'm only spending $100 each month on average throughout the year. So it's an energy saver, it's a scheduling saver, and it's a money saver because you can shop on sale. Sometimes I buy things on sale that I couldn't get in December on sale, but I get them on sale in July for people. Again, this is a tactic that might work for some people. It might work in, you know, partway for you. Maybe you do a little shopping through the year and you do the bulk of it in December. But just keep in mind that there's these strategies that you don't have to do. It's an assumption that we have to do all the shopping in December. No, you don't. You can do it all year round. You can. I keep my wrapping paper out, and sometime in the next 2 weeks, I'm going to wrap all my Christmas presents. No one needs to know how freakish I am except you and other people who listen to this call.
And
but
now everybody,
everyone in the world. That's okay. But it works for me. You know, it works for me. So those are things you can do. So get an early start. That's a huge tip. To whatever extent you can, knock some of these things out before the. That's why we wanted to do this call in early November. You know, we don't try to take as much off your plate as you can in December and even November, so that you can make some space to enjoy the season. The next one tip I'd like to share is just getting help, and we alluded to this in terms of delegating to a partner or a spouse or a friend or anyone in your own household. Try to think through things that they can do. My Christmas lights are up now, another OCD thing. But when it's 65 in November in Minnesota, you put up your Christmas lights because you don't want to do it when it's 20 below in 2 weeks and it's snowy. So I said to my husband, I said, sweetie, would you get down the Christmas lights and put them up this weekend? It's gorgeous. Could we take an hour and get the Christmas lights up? He was perfectly that was a nice little task, very clearly defined, that he could put on his to-do list for the weekend. He got it done. It was great. And I, A, can't really put up the lights that well. B, it's something perfect that he can do. So get help and delegate where you can. And you can say, and again, we talked about sort of the gender difference here, but there's lots of, you know, maybe I need to run one simple errand and say, I need you to pick up this item at Target. It's on sale. It's only on sale till Saturday. Could you get this done for me sometime this week? It would save me a trip to Target, and I know you have to drive by there. Just
That's huge, though, what you just said.
Yeah.
In there, in that give, and I'm talking for all of the male gender in stereotypic fashion, give us a little time to do that.
Right.
Because if you're saying do it now, you're nagging, and that's only going to increase our stress level. But if you say it would really be helpful if you could do this by such and such time, and there are several days in there where when we, you know, we can do it on our own time, it's it still feels like we're doing it of our own free will.
Right.
Although we all know we're not, but we're doing it, you know, we feel we can at least justify it in our brains that this is something that we're doing to make us feel good enough. You know, giving us time on that is a huge factor, because basically otherwise it is just a transfer of emergency, and that doesn't reduce anybody's stress.
No, it just increases that stress, and then you move into those interpersonal stressors where
exactly.
you got asked to do something in the next 4 hours.
Well, I was told then. You see what I mean?
Yes. Yeah.
If I get asked to do something in the next few days, I get told to do something now.
Right. And
it's
that's
not
as
a
if,
huge difference.
Yes. And you have things going on too, and your own stress and your own to-do list. So it's not really fair for someone to throw something at you and say, okay, you need to drop everything and get that done as well. So there's definitely better ways to ask, and some are better, some are worse. And ideally, a little bit of planning. Again, that if you know something needs to get done, to give somebody as much advance notice as possible. At the same time, sometimes in a partnership, you know, I forgot to do something, and this happens.
True.
You know, and I have to say, sweetie, I'm really sorry, but I forgot to do this one thing, and if there's any way that you could do this for me and help me out in this way, I would really, really appreciate it. And your loved one, your partner, is going to want to help too. But I think it's, the as you said, it's the positioning of it, not I'm demanding that you drop everything and go do this for me right now. It's, you know,
jerk.
I just need a hand up here. I need some help, and I don't know what to do, and I'm turning to you in a moment of vulnerability and crisis to help me. And that'll generally get some results too, just because people, we want to help each other. We want to help, but it's the way we word it.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So, yeah, and also in terms of getting help, there's, you know, you can, sometimes we need to pay for help. And sometimes instead, when we have company coming, we need to say, okay, it's worth $150 or whatever it would cost in your area to have someone come in and clean the house rather than slaving over cleaning the house for 2 days. I mean, that's completely up to people's budgets and their own family resources, but we don't have to do all of it. If cleaning the house top to bottom is on your to-do list because you're having 40 people over for a soiree on Tuesday night, maybe it's worth having someone come in and clean the house on Monday when you're at work or something like that. It doesn't, you don't have to do everything. It goes back to that perfection thing. There's no shame in saying, I had some help in getting the house clean. I mean, first of all, you'd probably never talk about it anyway, but even to admit to yourself that you didn't do that yourself, it's okay. And find someone who would be more than happy for the income and the opportunity to help you out in that way. Or even stores that do holiday gift wrapping. Think about what you would spend on a roll of Christmas paper, and some of this is financial too. You buy a roll of Christmas wrapping paper or holiday wrapping paper, you buy gift tags and bows or whatever you do, it probably will add up to just about what somebody's going to charge you at the store to wrap the gift for you, and now you don't have
guys
to worry
about
it.
Guys have that completely figured out.
Guys do have that figured out. You definitely figured that one out a long time before. And doesn't it look prettier than if you did it yourself?
Oh,
I mean,
damn straight. And we don't feel bad that we didn't wrap it at all.
That's right.
So.
And so I think there's those, like, again, for women, maybe they're creative. For guys, they're assumed. Ways of delegating all sorts of different tasks to cross something off your list and you didn't even have to do it.
Yeah, and the neighborhood kid to shovel the walk, that works.
That's right.
It's all good.
But think creatively. That's the thing. Sometimes people are, you know, more than happy to help, and you don't have to do it yourself. So, and just moving through some of these in terms of even calling, I was just going to say shopping online. These are just little tips, and I think in this day and age a lot of us do this. But don't feel like you have to do that whole get in the car, go out for 12 hours straight and do all your Christmas shopping. You can. I love shopping online. What's that?
I said, unless that's fun for you.
That's right. If you love it, do it. If it stresses you out and makes you want to pull your hair out one by one, then get a cup of coffee and sit behind the computer and do your Christmas shopping and have it shipped to you, oftentimes for free, and be done. And so, again, like you said, of course, do what works for you. But there are other ways other than being out there with 1,500 of your closest friends crammed into Best Buy looking for a gadget when you can probably get it cheaper and easier just going online and buying it. And again, no shame in it. Just do what
right.
works. You got the gift. That's what matters.
I want to jump in here and on the call I see is my partner at the Space Between Center, Laura Lee Sparks, who is a scheduling goddess who would probably, you know, in terms of compulsive scheduling, list making, and all that kind of stuff, put 98% of the people to shame in a good way. And I just want to invite Laura Lee to jump in anytime you want here if you've got a few other things.
You're so flattering.
Well, I love you because of that, because I'm not. And so, you know, this is what
makes
our partnership
such a
work.
Good team.
Yeah, exactly. So do you have something that you want to – I don't want to put you on the spot, but I just wanted to invite you to jump in a little bit here if you'd like on the scheduling issue.
I'm sitting here shaking my head as I'm listening because I am the same exact way. My Christmas shopping starts on December 26th. So,
amen, sister.
And let me tell you, you can get some great deals.
Mm-hmm.
I really, you know, a long time ago at our church, we did a program that was called Have a Blessed Instead of Stressed Holiday Season. And it's true. You know, this time of year is really not about the gifts. It's not about causing you more stress. It's about the friendships. It's about family, and those are the important things. And so, especially with the economy being the way that it is, I think people really need to step back and really focus on what the reasons are for this season, and you know, go into it with a heart of gratitude, and let the people that you know and love know that you know and love them. And but as far as the scheduling goes and everything, don't try to cram everything in. If you know, it's like holiday parties. If I know I'm going to see the same five or six people at five or six different parties, I'm going to pick one.
Oh, that's a good event. Oh, that's a great one.
Okay,
yeah.
Because there's no point in stressing myself out to be at every single one when really it's those five or six people that I'm wanting to see and that I need to, you know, have that relationship with and I want to see during the time of year. You know, a simple, you know, with your clients and referral sources, you know, I think looking for ways and opportunities, sending a card. I encourage my clients, we were doing holiday cards in September.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I know that in November and December, they're crazy busy with other things. Let's get them done, get it out of the way. So there's still time to get that done before we get into the madness. Using the let me tell you, somebody else wraps all of my presents. I actually have a high school kid come in, and I pile all my presents in my office, and I pay them a little bit of money, and they're thrilled because now they have some money to go shopping with for their holiday shopping, and all of my presents are wrapped.
There you go.
That's a great idea.
All right. Thank you, Laura Lee. Feel free to jump in anytime here.
Okay.
Let's hit fairly quick. We've got about 15 minutes left, and I want to hit some financial pointers real quick, and then I want to do a little bit on the interpersonal stuff. And then, you know, and then we'll wrap up. But move into the financial stresses.
Sure, and like you said, I definitely want to get to the interpersonal piece as well. And we've alluded to and sort of segued into some of the financial pieces as well. So reflect back on that in terms of spreading out those expenses. Maybe look at last year's expenses, see what you spent last year. If you didn't keep track, you can maybe look back at your credit card statements if you tend to put everything on credit cards or things like that. And then maybe gauge compared to that, do you want to spend the same? Do you want to spend less? You can look back at what you spent and create a record of that and then create your spending around that. And then, again, just in terms of making a list, when you know how much you want to spend, and to go back to that list-making Santa Claus type thing, then you know, okay, I want to spend $50 a piece on my kids or whatever. You know, then you know, okay, well, then here's the gift I want, here's how much it costs. Can I get it on sale, or is it too much? Does it not work in the budget this year? My daughter's birthday is in December. Can I make it both a birthday and a Christmas present because it's out of the budget? You know, be creative. But when you have that budget, if you choose to budget in that way, you can make a list of how many people you need to spend on, what you want to spend on each one, and then try to stay within that. Also, just credit cards, depending on how you work with credit cards and how you feel about your own credit card usage, sometimes they work really well for you because they help you keep track of your spending in terms of paperwork and logistics. You can look back and see what you spent at every store and all of that. For some people, the credit cards just make things too tempting, especially around the holidays, because you do find that gift that you know so-and-so would love, and it's way out of the budget, but you've got your plastic with you, and it doesn't feel like real money, and it's too tempting. So for some folks, I advise them to figure out what that budget is and what they want to spend to transfer or somehow make sure they have that amount of money in their checking account, and then to write paper checks. Or if you feel comfortable carrying cash, to pay cash, because you don't want your own credit card usage or concerns about that to be another holiday stressor because you took out the credit cards and now here comes January, you've way overspent and it was because of the credit cards. So be mindful of your own use of credit cards and be smart around that as well. In terms, again, setting a deadline, being done, having that sort of being done early, and also just saving time and money. Maybe some people go out day after Thanksgiving on Black Friday. I used to do that because I do love a great deal. I'm such a bargain shopper, and I love that. I posit it against my father. My father loves to hunt deer. I love to hunt a good bargain. We all sort of have our way of seeking out something that we want, and I love to hunt for bargains. But I realized it was so stressful for me. I don't actually like crowds, and I really despise waiting in line. So why would I subject myself? Once I thought about it, I'm like, this is ridiculous. Why am I putting myself through this? And no wonder I don't enjoy it. And especially when you can, as we were saying, as Laura Lee and I were saying, shop earlier and oftentimes get just as good a deal, or a lot of the online shops actually have Black Friday specials now that are incredible. So you can be at home with a cup of coffee doing your shopping and getting the same deals as somebody else is at 4:30 standing outside in the bitter cold, which I've done, and it's not a lot of fun. So be mindful about that in terms of your own use of time and money, financial and time-wise. Are you creating more stress to save $5, or is it worth it to you? And what are you actually saving? Some of those specials are good deals, but they have 10 of that toy in store, and they're just using it as a loss leader to get you into the store, and then you go in and you actually overspend on other things. So just take a little time, just as in all of the rest of this. Take some time to think about, as Laura Lee said, what parties you actually want to go to, what gifts you want to buy, how much you want to spend. Sometimes that hour or two just sitting there making a list or being mindful about what you're doing rather than just defaulting to what you've done year after year after year that may have gotten things done but didn't get it done in a way that was at all enjoyable or peace-filled for you or made your season happier. Take a little time now before things get crazy to think about the budget, to think about the schedule, and to set some guidelines for yourself and your family, and I think it will really put you in a good place for when things ramp up in the coming weeks. So with that, I'd love to segue over to you, Kevin, and have you think through with us when things do get hairy, how can you move yourself and your family and your loved ones through things in a way that doesn't create interpersonal stress.
Yeah, there's just a couple of things that I want to share here. One is an acronym called HALT, H-A-L-T. And what that stands for is hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. And as a parent, this is going to help. This is as a child, this is going to help when dealing with the family things. But usually, when our stress starts becoming overwhelming, we can look within ourselves and find some physiologic and some psychologic issues that may be happening. One, if you're out shopping all day and all of a sudden you're finding yourself angry or you're finding yourself, you know, fidgety or stressed or something like that, you may have forgotten to eat, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So just the simple thing of don't let yourself get too hungry during the course of this time. You know, try to find the bagel, you know, on the way to wherever, to that next meeting. Try to you know, keep... You know, I keep leftover Skittles are my thing from Halloween. I, you know, way overbought on Skittles, so that if I'm feeling myself getting upset with people or upset with kids or upset with something like that, now obviously if you're diabetic, you probably shouldn't keep a pocket full of Skittles like I do. But, but if you're getting something going on there, just check in with your body and see if you've gotten hungry. And with your kids too, especially if you're, you know, if you are in a situation where you need to haul your kids along to 8 different things and do in and out of the car 5 different times at different shops to do the shopping or to pick up the food or to do whatever, your kids are going to get hungry, and usually they're going to get hungry faster than you, and then they get cranky, and I'm not saying feed them Skittles, but, you know, maybe an apple or something like that in the that is probably a good thing, although now they know that I have Skittles in my pocket. So anyway, but watch for that hunger. Watch for that drop in blood sugar that could bring on some of those stresses and make you the next thing, the A in HALT, angry. A lot of times, you know, we find ourselves getting, when our stress is heightened, little things become big things. Those 5-minute bad moments turn into day-long sessions of being pissed. And that can lead us into things, especially if we were, you know, if we're running late because we got caught behind a train and we're on the way to a party we didn't want to go to anyway with a bunch of people that we think we need to see that we don't really want to, or we're late for church, or we're late for this, or we're late for that. Or somebody says something, or we, you know, or somebody, you know, God forbid, gave us something that isn't the perfect gift. You know, we may find ourselves in a selfish place becoming angry. And so if you find yourself in a place of anger, again, check inside, see if it's a hunger thing, see if there's something else going on, but try to recognize yourself being angry and try to move out of that as quickly as you can. One way to do that is to, you know, you may find yourself being angry, and if you can't get out of it, you may be in a place where you're not talking to as many people. A lot of us tend to isolate a little bit when we get overstressed, and we stop talking to our spouse or we stop talking to our friends. You know, in that kind of a situation, you may find yourself in a lonely place, and especially if you are actually, you know, halfway across the country from everybody you love at this time of year, or in some way, you know, you can't make it back, or, you know, those things are coming up and you are feeling lonely, that stress comes up. But we have these wonderful things called phones and computers that allow us to reach out and make the phone call to a friend and talk through what you're feeling, or, you know, share a little bit of the love that, you know, that you're missing, that is making you feel a little bit lonely. And then the last thing is tired, on the HALT acronym. Again, hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. When you're not getting enough sleep because you're worried about getting all the shopping done, you know, then stuff starts to snowball again. And so watch out for if you're feeling too tired. And if you're feeling super tired and you can sit down, you may not be able to take a nap in the middle of the day, but you can sit down for 5 or 10 minutes and close your eyes and relax just a little bit. And if that turns into a 20-minute power snooze, then you're probably going to be better off for the rest of the day too. But the key thing is that if you can, when you lay down to go to sleep at night, and I think this is something where the list building comes in, if you've gotten some of those things out of your head so that you're not laying awake tonight worrying about forgetting to do something tomorrow, you're going to be able to get a little bit better sleep. And when you're not tired and you're not hungry, you're going to find yourself being less lonely and less angry. And then the last thing that I'll share on this is that these are, for the most part, I mean, other than Thanksgiving, the December holidays are generally, religious, spiritual holiday times and the family stuff. And one of the things that comes up with a lot of people is that, you know, you go back to your parents' place or you go back into the traditions of your childhood, and you may or may not be in the same place as you were when you were raised. I mean, if you were raised Catholic, you may not be practicing Catholic anymore or Lutheran or whatever, but when you go back home for Christmas, especially in the Judeo-Christian background or home for Hanukkah or whatever, you find yourself being expected to practice traditions that you may or may not still honestly believe in. And that creates this whole feeling of not being good enough. It creates a position of, you know, feeling guilty that you may not believe in that the way that your parents expect you to or the way that you were raised. And it brings up a lot of stuff that's very core to who we are and our self-identities and our self-images. And one of the key things to remember when you get into those situations of religion and spirituality is that, you know, God loves you for who you are if you believe in God, or the universe is one of big love, and that is going to be constant. And so when you can look into those places, you may be sitting in, you know, I remember sitting in Catholic church at with my ex-wife on midnight mass at the huge cathedral in Omaha, Nebraska, a very Catholic town. And, you know, I wasn't necessarily as full into the details of the Catholic way of worship, but there is nothing more beautiful on the face of the planet than high mass at midnight on Christmas Eve at the cathedral in Omaha, Nebraska, with them singing O Come, O Come, Emmanuel and candlelight and the incense and all that kind of stuff. If you look for the ways that that feeds your spirit, you're going to have your spirit fed. And if you look for the ways that keep you separate, you're going to feel separate. You're going to feel angry, alone, maybe tired, and who knows, you might even be hungry. But the thing I'm trying to say there is that when we're dealing with those kind of situations, look for the similarities rather than the differences, and hold on to those similarities and hold on to that love. You know, when you are in a corporate party or something and somebody that you as a coworker comes up and starts conversation, you may not have wanted to seek out that coworker, but look for the similarities. Look for the ways that you can identify one-to-one with this person for 5 or 10 minutes and then politely disengage rather than saying, oh, God, this 10 minutes of this person is going to suck for the next little bit. So, again, just keep cognizant of those things. If you keep yourself, you know, if you keep yourself from getting hungry, if you get enough, try to get enough sleep, try to release the worries, do, you know, through lists and those kind of things, you're going to be in a better position to allow yourself to have fun during this time, to allow yourself to experience the love that is out there for you, and to, you know, to be in that place that makes these things memorable. And that's all I've got on that. So,
no, I
you
think,
have anything else to add?
Great. No, I think that's terrific, Kevin, and everything you said really makes a huge difference in terms of be it the halt and really stopping to think about what your body's experiencing or what you're experiencing emotionally and taking a moment to figure that out and maybe course correct a little, but also as you were talking about maybe the religious, you know, have gone through maybe some religious or some spiritual changes and not feeling comfortable in your family of origin, in your home of origin, in your church of origin, those sorts of things. I was also thinking that we also can change in other ways, politically, or just the way we think about the world, mm-hmm. or you know, in terms of mindset. And maybe you're from a family of complainers, and you've decided that you don't want to complain. You want to focus on positive things, and so you go home for Christmas dinner or Thanksgiving or your holiday dinner, and there's still that same conversation going on, and you don't run that way anymore. So that can all cause discomfort. Certainly, the changes in spirituality, but I think as we grow and mature, we change in a lot of different ways.
Tons of different ways, yeah.
And take your advice in. Take that same advice with any way that you feel maybe you've disconnected. I grew up in the same house that my parents still live in, but I've changed a lot since I was 18 in a variety of ways. And I feel that disconnect when I'm home. And I really need to take time to remember who I am now and that that's okay and that my family still loves me because of me, not because of what I was 20 years ago or what I am now. So I really think your advice is important as we step back into those old relationships and those old even physical structures that bring back memories that maybe are hard or are challenging or the journey that we've been on since we were there has been a long one, to take your advice on how to deal with that and how to still connect with folks in a meaningful way despite those challenges. So I really appreciate your words on that interpersonal component.
Good. Good. Well, we're right at the top of the hour. Laura Lee, do you have any final things to share on this? Okay. So I'm going to just say thanks to everybody for being on the call or taking the time to listen. And thank you so much, Kendra, for being on and sharing, you know, the list-building secrets of the Minnesota pastor's wife. I love it.
There's a title for a book, too.
So, you know, and, you know, I'm going to remember pick your nose for the rest of my life. So that is way too
Good.
Much fun. So
Good.
With that, we'll sign up. What, you know, so if folks want to get, you know, more information about what Kendra is up to, go to KendraBrodin.com, which is KendraBrodin, right?
It's true. Yeah, that's right. Yep.
And you can see what's going on there. And then Women Lawyers Online. And we'll be doing a thing together. What are the dates for the thing that we're going to do together in December?
Wednesday, December 8th, and Thursday, December 9th, we're doing that event together.
Okay, and that event is that we're going to do a couple of workshops based on my Fuel the Spark, Five Guiding Values for Success in Law and Life book. And we're working on getting those CLE accredited for lawyers right now, but it might be, you know, they work for non-lawyers too. So we're working out the details on that, but stay in touch with Kevin and Kendra for those kind of things that are coming up, and just take a look at Kendra's website and take a look at spacebetweencenter.org website, and we will just keep everybody updated on things that are coming up. But feel free to download the call here. Feel free to share it with your friends. Feel free to shoot us emails or comments or whatever. What's your email, Kendra? Do you mind sharing that?
I don't mind at all. It's Kendra at Kendra Brodin, but it's phonetically Brodin, so it's K-E-N-D-R-A-B-R, everyone does it, B-R-O-D-I-N, that's what you get from me in Swedish in Minnesota.
So, okay.
But it's Kendra at KendraBrodin.com, that's my direct email, so I certainly welcome anyone who wants to connect. And
okay,
also on
and
social
mine
media,
is,
too. Yeah.
And mine is Kevin, K-E-V-I-N, dot Houchin, H-O-U-C-H-I-N, and you can call me Houchin for the rest of my life now, Kendra, if you want. But Kevin Houchin, or Kevin.Houchin at HouchinLaw, HouchinLaw.com.
That's perfect. Well,
all right. Well, thank you so much, and we will let everybody get on with their day, and appreciate it, and we'll talk to you later. Have a great and stress-free, or at least stress-less, holiday season.
Yes, happy holidays, everyone. Thank you. Thanks,
bye-bye.
Kevin. Bye-bye.